Well, it's amazing how quickly a gospel meeting week can go by, and we're already here Wednesday night. And we're blessed, even though it's Wednesday night, normally, most of the times it seems, in a local gospel meeting. On a Wednesday, you just have the members there, but we have a number of visitors here tonight, and we're so appreciative of you being here especially. Thank you for coming our way, encouraging the brethren here locally as well as me. If you will, take out your Bibles and be open them to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. Let me take just a moment, even though it's not Friday night yet, but let me take just a moment just to express my family's thanks to you for taking such good care of us this entire week and giving us such wonderful commendations there at Hampton Inn. And all the wonderful meals that you have provided in your homes and at restaurants and even in the form of gift cards, that you have so well taken care of us and made us feel so welcome, and we appreciate that so very much. To those who are visiting, we would invite you and appreciate if you would fill out a visitor's card, and we might have a record of your attendance, your name and address. We might be able to also visit with you a little while afterwards if you're able to stay. And if anyone has any questions, any Bible questions, please be sure to let us know, especially myself or Chris and me, since I'm preaching tonight. Anything that you have a question about, something maybe even disagree with, certainly things that I present, I want to make sure I'm not presenting my opinion or personal belief, but that I present what God's Word presents to us in Scripture. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And that's the charge of anyone, again, that speaks or teaches or preaches. And I realize that I'm going to receive a stricter judgment because I am a teacher of God's Word. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, for we shall receive a stricter judgment. So I take this role and responsibility very seriously. I want you to know that. But again, we invite and encourage any Bible questions that you may have. So please don't hesitate to let us know. And you might not have time maybe to discuss it tonight, but we certainly can make arrangements later to do that, whether face-to-face or email or on the phone or whatever. We just want to study God's Word with you. Our sermon tonight, our lesson tonight, is on the effects of entertainment. The effects of entertainment. And clearly that portrays a home, a family. And that is going to be our focus in the home, where entertainment belongs, wholesome, good entertainment. There's certainly a place for that. And really, before we get into that, let me say something where entertainment doesn't belong. It doesn't belong in the church. It doesn't belong within our worship. And the reason I say that is when you look around, and it doesn't take much looking around, to see so many churches in our towns, in our communities, in our nation, that are just filled with entertainment and drawing people in based on entertaining them. And just when you stop and think about Christ and purchasing the church, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he purchased it with his own blood, that it really doesn't make any sense, does it? The kind of things and activities that so many churches today get involved in that have nothing to do with the reason that Jesus died on the cross. He died to save men, right? He sent out his apostles to what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The emphasis is spiritual. Here in 1 Timothy 3, where I asked you to open your Bibles to in verse 15, well, let's back it to verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Notice the emphasis there upon the church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth, because the truth is what sets men free from sin. That's what needs to be and must be to be pleasing to God and to the Lord. That must be the emphasis in the church, in the local work, is spiritual. There's a place for entertainment. There's a place to get together and eat and play games and that sort of thing, enjoy each other's company socially. Well, we just don't see that in the New Testament. We don't see that in the Scriptures. And again, there's a reason for that. The work and nature of the Lord's church is spiritual in nature. There in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for example, Romans 14, verse 17. Paul said to the saints in Rome, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit." So it's not about eating and drinking, the kingdom of God, the Lord's church. It's about righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Again, spiritual things is the emphasis. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit, right attitude, and truth. And again, when you think about even in the Old Testament system, when the temple was still there in Jerusalem, it was a place of worship. Jesus, you remember, he drove out the money changers and those who were selling sheep and oxen. He overturned tables and he said, "Take these things away," because were doing what? They're making, he said, "my Father's house a house of merchandise." You see, there's things today that also do not belong in churches that need to be taken away, because the emphasis is not spiritual. It is physical, it is social, it is things of the flesh, of entertainment. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in regards to the observance of the Lord's Supper, Paul had to rebuke the saints even in the first century for the abuse of the Lord's Supper that was taking place there in Corinth. He says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk." Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 11, "What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." And then again, he ends the chapter in verse 34 by saying, "But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I'll set in order when I come." Paul wasn't against hospitality. He wasn't against brethren getting together. He did that a lot. In fact, he instructed and commanded brethren to do that, didn't he? In Romans 12, 13, we're to be given to hospitality. And so there's just a proper place for it. And there's another place where it's not proper, and that's the church. We come together tonight for what? We came together tonight to worship God, and to do that hopefully with reverence in our hearts and in our minds. And not to be entertained, I hope. I'm not an entertainer. But to praise God with our lips, the fruit of our lips, as we sing praises to God, as we were led in tonight, as we approach his throne of grace, as we were led in prayer tonight, and as we look to his word and study the scriptures, search them together, to be edified, to be built up in the faith. And so, just wanted to say those things in our introduction, that's not our focus tonight, our lesson, but I think we need to say something about that, because the religious landscape is so saturated with that sort of entertainment. But in the home, in our homes, in our family, this is the modern family. We are a people that are connected to our technology. We are always being entertained, whether it be TV and movies, whether it be, you know, Netflix or Hulu, whether it be internet browsing of our favorite websites, whether it's social media, Facebook, whether it's having our Kindle or our Nook or going to Pinterest and pinning something, whether it's our Nintendo Wii or DS or Xbox 360 or Wii or whatever, our iPhone or iPad, our smartphones, we are a people that are connected to our technology. When's the last time you traveled? Went to the airport? What is everyone doing? Got the phones out, don't they? I mean, almost every single person. Young, middle-aged, older. They got their phones out, or they're on their phone, or they're on their laptops. We are just glued to entertainment. And we don't have to be in the airport to do that. It's just all the time. And so tonight, I would like for us to consider the effects of entertainment on our time, on our mind, and on our influence. First of all, on our time. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Paul is preaching the gospel to a ruler there by the name of Felix and to his wife Drusilla. Verse 24 tells us that he sent for Paul and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, verse 25, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." The New American Standard Version says, "When I find time, I will summon you." Isn't that the common cry of our generation? I don't have time. We all get the same time. Each of us gets the exact number of days, hours, and minutes of every week. And yet we constantly say, I don't have time. Well, consider television watching statistics for 2012. The average time spent watching television per day in the U.S. is a startling 5 hours. The years the average person will have spent watching TV is 9 years. That's 78,840 hours. Think about that. 9 years of a person's life. The average person. I'm not saying you're the average person, but the average person out there will do that. Have you heard of the 23rd channel? The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake. It requires all my spare time. It keeps me from doing my Christian duty. It produces so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the world. It keeps me from the study of God's word. It leads me in the path of failing to attend worship and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100 years old, I shall view my TV as long as it works. It seems to be my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It provides entertainment for me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from God's will. Surely because of all the wasted hours, there will be a lack of reward at the gates of heaven. I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 or Channel 23, which is yours? But again, I don't have time. I just don't have time. That, you know, that doesn't even include internet usage. That's just television that we're talking about right now. You see, at least with television, there is a natural stopping point, right? But that's not true of internet. You get on there and you say, well, I'm just going to check my email. Oh, I wonder what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Well, look who posted on Facebook. And then we might check out the news sites and the sports sites. And before you know it, it's one or two or 3 hours have passed. And yet we say, I don't have time. I can think of too many nights in my life when I've gone to bed where I said to myself, well, I didn't have time to do my Bible reading today. Well, I didn't have time to make those phone calls today. Well, I didn't have time to make those visits to those needing visits in the nursing homes and those who have been weak in their faith. But I can't think of one time I've gone to bed and said, I just didn't have time to watch television today. I just didn't have time to check my email today. We must admit the effects of entertainment on our time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and then also Colossians chapter 4, very similar points are made here. Extremely important points and principles of truth that tie in so well to this first point about the effects of entertainment on our time. Ephesians 5, notice with me please, 15 and 16, where Paul the apostle says to the saints at Ephesus, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. Making the most of your time. The ESV says making the best use of the time. And that's the idea. Because Paul speaks here of the value of your time and of my time. And we must rescue our time for good pursuits, to use that to the glory of God. I realize we all need leisure time to kind of relax, to unwind. It's good, it's healthy. But our problem at times is that our leisure moments, our leisure time becomes lazy time. And lazy time becomes too much of the time. Would you consider 5 hours of TV as redeeming the time? I mean, who among us said, yeah, that's a good use of time? Would you say 9 years of watching TV is making the most of your time here upon this earth, when our life is so brief as it is? Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, please. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. There it is again, redeeming the time. Make the most of every opportunity, the NIV says. We must value our time more than we perhaps have been. Shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting, rather, for the Lord? The Lord says we ought to be in Matthew chapter 24. Notice with me in Matthew's gospel there, in verses 42 through 44. As the text speaks of the Lord's second coming, he's going to return. We don't know when, verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Be ready. Watch, therefore. That's what we should be watching for, right? And shouldn't we be those who are watching out for lost souls, who are in need of the Savior? As we've studied beginning Sunday morning, and we've mentioned the scripture practically in every lesson, Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. The multitudes, Jesus had compassion on, they were like sheep having no shepherd. And he says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Shouldn't we be watching for opportunities to share the gospel with others? Again, a common objection as to why we're not being evangelistic is, well, I just don't have time for that. I'm too busy. I'm too covered up. My schedule is jam-packed. Well, perhaps instead of watching one thing, we could be watching out for those who are lost. When a gospel preacher moved to the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, he understood it to be a difficult field to convert the lost, and many of his friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but he went anyway. And the first year, he baptized 12 to 15 people. The second year, he had similar results. And of course, everyone wanted to know his secret, right? How are you doing that? How is it that you're converting people in a place that has been so difficult in times past? And he said, well, I tell you, it's very easy. I just conditioned myself to feel guilty sitting home at night watching television. And I tell you what scares me to death. I feel like sometimes that I've conditioned myself not to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching TV, surfing the internet. Can we be honest with one another and acknowledge that our entertainment affects our time? Time with our family. Time with our family. Time with God's Word to meditate in His law both day and night, because we're spending too much time meditating on television shows, maybe video games, internet. Time in prayer. To pray without ceasing. Does entertainment ever take away, you think, from time we could be spending more in prayer with our God? Time to visit the weak and the sick who who need our attention, who need someone to show care and concern for them, James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God. Isn't that what James says? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And not only is our time being taken away because of the effects of entertainment, and thus we're not making maybe visits and spending time with others who really need some attention and help, but also maybe because of the entertainment, we are spotting ourselves and instead of keeping ourselves pure and holy. Well, secondly, entertainment has an effect on our minds. Because how we think is going to determine how we live. Proverbs 23, verse 7 reads, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." It begins here. It begins here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind, that you may prove" what is "that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed, be transformed. But it begins in the mind. You sow a thought and you reap a word. You sow a word and you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. But it all starts with the mind, our minds. Galatians 6, 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Don't you see that if a 30-second commercial can sell us on some product, boy, we've got to have that, that a 30-minute sitcom can eventually sell us on a lifestyle, or at least we can become desensitized to it and be at a place where we were not before. You look at our culture, and words and phrases that are popular among people are things we first heard on television. They have an influence on us. They start in our mind and they become a part of our vocabulary, and then they later become a part of our character. I would like to read to you a few excerpts from the motion picture code that was used in making television and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. Okay? This is the motion picture code used in making television and movies in our country, again, in the years 1930 to 1966. "The sanctity of the institution of marriage in the home shall be upheld. Pictures shall not infer that low forms of the sex relationship are the accepted or common thing. Adultery, sometimes necessary plot material, must not be explicitly treated or justified or presented attractively. Sex perversion or any inference to it is forbidden. Obscenity in word, gesture, reference, song, joke, or by suggestion, in parentheses, even when likely to be understood by only part of the audience, is forbidden. Dances suggesting or representing sexual actions or indecent passions are forbidden. Dances which emphasize indecent movements are to be regarded as obscene. The technique of murder must be presented in a way that will not inspire imitation. Brutal killings are not to be presented in detail. The use of firearms should be restricted to the essentials. Methods of crime should not be explicitly presented. The basic dignity and value of human life shall be respected and upheld. pointed profanity, parentheses, this includes the words God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless used reverently, or every other profane or vulgar expression, however used, is forbidden. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. If motion pictures present stories that will affect our lives for the better, they can become the most powerful force for the improvement of mankind. Can you believe it? Brethren and friends, pictures in our country used to conform to those standards. And we say, oh, wow, how times have changed. We don't even have commercials that are held to those standards anymore. And when we think about shows that we watch as a family, we think about when we grew up, our parents would never have let us watch those shows. And now all of a sudden, well, they're not all that bad. And so it's not just the standards that have changed, but our standards have changed as to what is acceptable and what is unacceptable entertainment. How about this scripture? I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. That would be a good scripture to tape to our TVs and our computer monitors. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Would that apply, you think, to entertainment? Oh, yes, quite a bit. Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. If you have satellite or cable, how many channels? And you're flipping. How many worthless things are on there? Most of it, right? Just worthless. How many wicked things? So much. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, please. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. This is from the New King James Version that I'm reading from. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me ask you something. Is it possible to have your mind set on things above when your television is set on things below? Is it? Can we do that? Oh, that's right, I forgot. It doesn't affect us, right? It doesn't affect me. Doesn't it? Doesn't it affect us? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. How can we not work in this scripture? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you were to take out a sheet of paper and just list all those words from verse 8, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. And would you be able on the other side of the piece of paper to plug in your favorite television show or shows next to those words? Tell me, which one is lovely? Which one is praiseworthy? Dancing with the Stars? Is it that one? throughout almost any show out there that's popular. You see, it affects our minds. Whoever came up with the idea that it's okay to watch what we want to watch as long as we send the children out of the room first? As long as they're not here, we can watch whatever we want. As long as we send them upstairs, as long as we send them to their rooms, then we can watch whatever we want to watch. You know, often TV shows or movies may say that the following is not suitable for children. Well, is it suitable for Christians? That might be the better question to ask. Is it suitable for a saint who is to be holy in all their conduct? Something to think about. Is that going to help us set our mind on things above and to meditate, on things where Christ is? Someone might say, well, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But it's funny. I mean, it's just funny. Do you think the Lord's laughing? When homosexuality is displayed as something funny, is that not still a sin that nailed Jesus on the cross that is against nature itself? When children are disrespectful to parents, is that something that is funny? And are we not teaching something to our children that we really don't want them to be taught? And when marriage is portrayed as something inconvenient, kind of in the way of having fun, instead of holy and undefiled, is that funny? When the husband, the father, is so often betrayed as a complete imbecile, clueless, incompetent, fool, is that funny? Many people think so. Does our God? You see, it does affect us. And I want you to know that entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship. Because all of a sudden we think because we're entertained all day long that the worship service needs to focus more on the package and presentation than the content. All of a sudden, if it's not done with a style that is compatible to our desires, then it becomes, well, rather stale and boring. Instead of asking, what do I put into it? We focus all of our attention on, what do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? Entertainment affects our worship, brethren. I've seen it firsthand. It affects our worship. John chapter 4, please. Jesus, going back to the text of our very first lesson in the gospel meeting, John 4 at Jacob's well, as he's discussing with the Samaritan woman, eventually their conversation turns to the subject of worship. And without going into the entire discussion, just a couple of verses here, verse 23, but the hour is coming, the Lord says, and now is when the true worshipers, well, if there's true worshipers, what's the implication? Well, there's also false worshipers. But when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship God in spirit is with the right attitude. To worship in truth is what? According to His Word. Sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. And so it matters how we worship God. It matters that we worship Him with the right attitude. It matters that we do it the right way, according to the way He reveals in the pattern of the New Testament. And it matters that we, Hebrews 12:28, serve Him with godly fear and reverence. He says we must do that to be accepted by Him. Now our children, brethren, our children become accustomed to being entertained, don't they? And if we're not very careful with our parenting, they expect it when they come and assemble for worship. And so we bring games and toys to keep them, watch it now, entertained. Don't we? I mean, I've been places, even where I'm at now, I don't think goes on as it was, but I mean, you know, you think about going to someone's house and they have small children as we do, and there'll just be containers and toy boxes full of toys. And some families were basically, you know, bringing just big old bags and containers of toys. And their kids will be on the floor. And why? I got to be entertained, right? And so I can pay attention, I guess, better if little Johnny's sitting on the floor playing with his games here. And with the common use today of smartphones, iPhones, iPads, etc., and kids have those as well, brethren, there is a certain temptation to misuse those devices when we come together for Bible study and worship. Now, I'm not saying you can't bring them. They can be used as your Bible. I know many, more and more brethren do that, right? Brother did that this past Lord's Day at the table. That's fine. It's being used in a proper way as the Bible is as well. You know, also you can put helpful Bible study tools on those forms of entertainment. But there's also the temptation, I'm afraid, of using them to maybe check our email. Oh, I got a text message. Let me respond real quickly during worship. Play games. Check our Facebook page. Look at Pinterest. Pin something there. Oh, look what they pin. Check the score of some game because, you know, that's our team. And it's, they're playing while we're at worship. And so on. And yes, adults and children have been guilty of doing such during worship. I've seen it. My elders have seen it. And I've seen it when I've gone to other places. And it upsets me. It upsets me. And we might think of Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6 where God asks, where is my reverence? Where is my respect? And they were coming to worship. God's people were still coming to worship. And they were bringing their sacrifices. But they were the broken, the lame, and the blind. And he said, offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept it favorably from your hands? And then he talked about others in verse 13. They came to worship. They brought their sacrifice, which was their leftovers, basically. But they would discard. And their attitude was, oh, what a weariness. Oh, what a weariness. They were put out to even come to worship. And yeah, worship, I mean, it's boring. It's dull. Services are boring and dull, so I got to be entertained. Right? So there's my word of caution to you. You want to use your smartphone, your iPhone, your iPad as your Bible? Use it as your Bible while you're here. But watch out for the temptation to use it in the other ways that you normally would use it outside of worship. Parents, be on top of this. Don't you be guilty of it, but be on top of this with your children, with your young people. And young people, you're old enough, some of you, to know better if that is a temptation for you. But we need to be very aware and conscientious of such, I believe. Thirdly, entertainment has effect on our influence. You see, it affects our influence on our family, number one. What example are we setting for our spouse in the realm of entertainment? Colossians 1, in verse 10. Let's grab verses 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, verse 11, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Again, as we think of the things that Paul emphasizes here, being filled with the knowledge of His will, verse 9, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord, verse 10, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God, and then apply those statements to our influence with our family and our spouse. And what example are we setting for our children in the realm of entertainment? Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. A and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How are we training up our children in our home? Are we bringing them up truly in the training and admonition of the Lord? Are we allowing them to use so much of their time and fill so much of their time with TV and internet and video games and their smartphones and their iPhones, their iPads, hours upon hours, instead of God's Word? Instead of that which will make them wise unto salvation, nothing more important, nothing more precious than the souls of our children. How are we training them up, dads and moms? And what do they see us watching, by the way? What example are we setting? What do they see us watching? And how much time do they see us waste on such things? And by the way, how much time do we allow them to waste on such things? And what habits will they form as a result and later take with them into their future homes? Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44, we read, "Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter," or we might also add, "like father, like son." Oh, our children pick up our habits and our words, what we do, what we watch, and they take that with them and into their future homes. Do you know what we need today in our homes? We need the same courage and conviction of Joshua of old. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house," my family, "we will serve the Lord." And in regards to our lesson tonight, we might say, choose for yourselves your entertainment, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in that area and in all areas. Let us follow in the steps of Joshua. And no matter what everyone else is deciding to watch and view, it doesn't change what we've decided and fall in the ways of the Lord. We will set no worthless or wicked thing before our eyes or our children's eyes. Rather, we will serve the Lord righteously and faithfully. And of course, even stepping outside of even just our immediate family and home, we must also be very conscientious and mindful of our influence upon those in this world. Those to whom Jesus said were a salt to the earth, a light to the world, that they may see what your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. And so when we're with our friends who are not members of the Lord's church, young people, what do they see us watching and viewing and doing and being entertained by? What movies do we go and see with them? And those you work with, what TV shows do your coworkers know that you watch and enjoy, or that you do not watch and would not enjoy because of its content? Our example, our influence upon the world is so, so important. They need to see that we are different. We're not like them. We're striving to live godly lives. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. This world is not our home. And we must be a salt to the earth. We must be a light, shining as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Are we? Do we? Now, I understand that all these forms of entertainment and communication can be used for good, right? Certainly with them we can take the gospel to places that has not gone before, and that's been done and continues to be done. We can stay connected to one another. That at any time we can say something uplifting to our brethren, that we're praying for them, that we're thinking about them. But you see how creative the devil is in taking something useful for good and then turning it into a channel of slavery and evil. And finally, please be careful to keep in mind the following three scriptures whenever and whatever you watch television or a movie, browse the internet, text, get on Facebook, etc. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And this last scripture from the New Testament got cut off a little bit at the bottom, but it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. If we will truly ponder these three scriptures, and remember that every time we turn on our television, every time we hit power or refresh on our computers and get on our iPhones and smartphones, etc., remember these scriptures, the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of him, to what? To whom we must give account. He sees everything. Maybe we're keeping things from mom and dad, as many young people do. But we're not keeping anything from him to whom we must give an account in the day of judgment. And I need to apply these scriptures in my life and in my home. I need this lesson again. And perhaps you do as well. The various forms of entertainment today, brethren and friends, are a clear and present threat, danger to our families. Don't be deceived into thinking, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my family. Because entertainment has a tremendous effect on our time, on our mind, and upon our influence. If you will, take out your hymn book and open to the song of invitation, please. Thanks for being here tonight again. We've had some return visitors and first-time visitors. And again, especially to you, thank you for coming. It's good to see the young people here in the front. You did that, I know, at least the other night. And I meant to say something and I forgot, but I really appreciate that. As we just read Hebrews 4, verse 13, to whom we must give account. If there wasn't God, if the Bible was not the Word of God, if there wasn't a Creator and a Judge, then there wasn't a Savior, and that Savior wasn't resurrected, then as Paul said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up, right? And in the realm of entertainment, do whatever you want. Be entertained. Like the Roman Empire. But since there is a God, and there is a Savior, a risen Savior we serve, and we must come before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us, and give an account for what we've done in the body, in this life, whether good or bad, and that touches upon good or bad entertainment as well, then it does matter, doesn't it? In this moment, right now, it matters if you're not in a right relationship with God. And so please consider your soul's condition. Are you a New Testament Christian? A New Testament Christian. When I say New Testament Christian, we're talking about, of course, the Bible is divided into two major divisions, Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Law, the Law of Moses, was for the Jewish people, the children of Israel. The New Testament goes for all of us. And it's the law of Christ. It's Christ's teachings. And of course, Christ came to redeem us from our sins. Have you been redeemed from your sins? He came to build his church. He built his church. He purchased it with his blood, as we referenced at the beginning of our lesson, Acts 20, verse 28. And when one obeys his gospel, he adds them to his church. He doesn't say in the scriptures, join the church of your choice. Have you ever heard that? Just join the church of your choice, go wherever you want, whatever makes you happy. Wherever you feel most at home. That's society, right? It's kind of like Baskin Robbins, right? They have 31 flavors. I don't know if they've upped it. But it's kind of like, go in and pick whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Is that what you read in your Bibles? If you stop and read and study God's words, no, you won't read that. Christ built his church, one, the Lord's church, and when we obey his gospel, his way, he adds us to his body of saved people. And if I'm not in the Lord's church, I'm not saved. Or you're not saved. But how to get entrance into it? You need to obey the gospel. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You need to repent, because Jesus said that if we don't repent, we'll perish, we'll be lost. Luke 13:3. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because we've all sinned, right? Acts 17:30. And also, right after that, verse 31 of Acts 17, he says, because he's appointed a day of judgment, right? To whom we must give an account. And you must be willing to confess. Jesus said, we must confess him before men, Matthew 10:32. And you must be baptized. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned, Mark 16:16. Have you taken those steps to become a child of God? To be saved? Whatever sins you've committed, they'll be washed away by the blood of Christ. And so why tarry? Why put it off? Why be like Felix as we started the lesson? He became afraid when he heard the message, but he had the wrong response. Go away for now. And when I find time, I'll call for you. Find time right now, because we're talking about your eternal soul and where it will spend eternity, in heaven or hell. And God wants you to be in heaven with him, but it's up to you. It's up to you. It's your decision. But we invite you to come as together we stand and we sing.